The Minnesota Vikings, more importantly. The Vikings won 34-17 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And joining us now, as he does every Monday following a Vikings game, our friend Brian Robinson. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing well. How about that game yesterday? Your quarterback played out of his mind, right? I think Case Keenum broke the Buccaneers fans' hearts, but also maybe raised a lot of optimism if Sam Bradford's going to miss some time, whether it's a couple of weeks or a lot of weeks. Man, Case played out of his mind and looked like he really, really grasped the offense and just lit the place up for 369 yards.
Yeah, you know, we definitely ran the ball well yesterday. We protected him well, and then he was able to make a lot of plays for us yesterday as well in the passing game. So those are the things that we expect out of Case. We see him every day in practice, and we know what he's capable of. And I've known Case for a long time as well, working out with him down in Houston. So he's a great quarterback, and he was able to show it yesterday for us.
B-Rob, last night, whatever you want to call it, game looked from a fan standpoint as a team win. And I know a lot of them takes a team to get a win like that, but that whole team yesterday was firing on all phases, and it just looked like you guys were out there having fun. The defense, you know, they knew what you guys had to do. Once you got them into a passing mode, you got to, you know, go out there and get after the quarterback. How fun is that?
It's very fun. You know, when your team's clicking on all cylinders like we were yesterday, and it is a true team win, it makes it all more fun because you know that everybody had a hand in making that happen. So anytime you can get a win like that, it's something special.
When you look at sort of the stats and how the first half played out, they were going in at halftime, they were 0-for-4 on third downs. You know, what was working for you guys to get them in the situations that they were 0-for in the first half?
Well, I think that's credit to our coaches that made the right calls in all aspects of the game. And then, you know, really our offense being able to put points on the board early, put them a little bit behind the eighth ball. So they weren't able to try to establish the run. Even though we were playing really stout in the run game, they weren't able to really try to get that going, which kind of eliminated a lot of their play action passes and made them have to get in a situation where they had to basically drop back and throw the ball. And anytime you do that, that's what a defense wants. You want to be able to pin your ears back and get after a quarterback and put pressure on them, and that's what we were able to do yesterday.
Is part of that why we see for this team, sacks seem to come in bunches, turnovers seem to come in bunches, because you start to get the ball rolling, and like you said, you pin your ears back and just go?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime, like I said, when you get those opportunities yesterday where your offense puts points on the board early and the team gets behind the eight ball and you know they have to pass to get themselves back in the game, that's what you want as a defense, because that gives you the opportunity, like you said, to just bend your ears back and get after the quarterback. And Jameis is a good running quarterback as well, so we had to be smart in the way we rushed him, and I thought we did a great job of it yesterday.
You know, I know the national storyline with Jameis is that he will throw the ball up at certain times. Did you guys have those conversations internally, knowing that, all right, let's just do what we have to do up front, because we know there's going to be some opportunities where he's going to overthrow some balls and we have some opportunities at takeaways?
Well, you know, for our defense, what I like about our defense is we just, each group worries about their job. We don't worry about what the other guy's doing, even though we know what they're supposed to do. We don't worry about what they're supposed to do. You know, defensive line, you know, we worry about making sure we put pressure on the quarterback to give our DBs the best opportunity to be successful on the back end, and vice versa. You know, they make sure they got to cover their guys in order to give us the opportunity to get sacked. So that's the great thing about our defense, is it's very unselfish play, and it's really about what's good for the team, not necessarily what's good for each individual.
So, Brian, two crazy offensive explosions at home so far against New Orleans and then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday, and obviously it just wasn't clicking in Pittsburgh. The defense had penalties in Pittsburgh. Just a very different look than we saw against the Saints and the Bucs at home. Now that you guys are a year and two games into your home field advantage at US Bank Stadium, maybe this is a dumb question, but does it feel like home now? Does it feel like that's definitely your stadium as opposed to just a brand new stadium?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it felt like home last year. I mean, you know, we just kind of hit a rough spot in the road, you know, a midpoint of the season last year, but definitely it feels like home for us. You know, our crowd gets into it. They definitely have a big hand in us being successful on Sundays as well. And, you know, hopefully we can keep this clicking at home.
You know, there's a lot of great performances yesterday, but a guy that's really played well in the first three games is Xavier Rhodes. What have you guys seen from Xavier just watching the tape, and what's his attitude mentality been like these first 3 weeks of the season?
Man, he's just becoming more and more confident. You know, he listens to what Coach Zimmer, you know, coaches him, because Coach Zimmer coaches him very, very hard, but he definitely has learned from him, and you can just see his growth, his confidence every single day. And his maturity and the way he plays is helping him out on the field.
You go to a guy right next to you, B-Rob, in Everson. How great of a season has Everson had so far?
He's had a really good season so far. You know, I mean, I think he's got, what, 4 sacks in the first 3 games or something like that. So definitely having a great season, and hopefully he can keep that going. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, us as a D-line group, we're very unselfish. It's about making sure that each guy does his job so the next man can, you know, capitalize on an opportunity doing his job. And right now, definitely Everson's getting the brunt of that, and he's stacking up the sacks quickly. And, you know, we hope that continues on, and hopefully, you know, the other guys can come along as well.
In the locker room after the game, as everyone is huddling around Dalvin Cook and Stephon Diggs, you start yelling from the corner where your locker is, come talk to Shamar Stephen, his first career sack. It seems like you guys, the whole locker room, but that defensive line in general, have a really good relationship that makes it kind of a fun place and fun guys to work with.
Absolutely, man. I mean, it's no place I'd rather work is going in that locker room every day, in that defensive line room every day. We just get along so good. We've got such great cohesiveness between all the guys. And, you know, we really are family. We probably spend more time with each other than we do our own families when we're during the season. So definitely we have a great group of guys, and we all get along. And, you know, I think there's going to be some lifelong relationships built in that building for sure.
Well, here's a softball question for you. You guys played well in the first game, and as Corey was saying, you know, not so great in the second game, and you guys lit it up again in the third game. So is it safe to say that the first game, the third game is more about who you guys are and not so much the second game?
Absolutely. I think when you go back and you look at the Pittsburgh game, I think we beat ourselves in a lot of aspects. And, you know, people are going to look at that game and they're going to say, well, you know, you talk about penalties for the Vikings. Well, the Pittsburgh Steelers had penalties as well. And that is true. But the difference is we had penalties in critical situations that could have got us off the field. I jumped offsides on a fourth down play that would have had us off the field that might have nullified 7 points. We had a pass interference or a holding, a defensive holding or something like that, on a critical third down play that extended the drive for them that put up another 7 points. We actually were in a situation where we forced a missed field goal, and we had, I think they called one of our D linemen lined up over the center, which when we looked at the film, it, you know, it's kind of iffy, but regardless, that would have been 3 points off of this. So when you look at it, that's 17 points that you could have taken off that score, because those are opportunities we would have been off the field and we weren't. So penalties in critical situations like that really hurt us in that second game. And the first game, the third game, we didn't have those penalties in those critical situations, and it didn't come back to haunt us.
Well, looking forward already, because you guys are going to put this game to bed this afternoon as you guys watch tape, and you guys will start focusing on the Detroit Lions. But you've played against the Lions enough. You play against Matthew Stafford enough. Just sort of your initial reactions when you hear about playing them, the things that the challenges that you have to worry about playing against Matthew Stafford.
One, he's going to get the ball out quick. Two, they've got some skill players on the edge that can really make some plays in the passing game, yards after catch, those things. So we're going to have to be really good in that area. And we just got to get after him. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it's got to be, is our front four has to get after him, put pressure on him, not necessarily get a bunch of sacks, but we have to, you know, get some hits, hurries, you know, force him to do some things that he doesn't want to do. And if not, he's going to be able to pick you apart. And, you know, look, this is not the Detroit Lions of old. They're playing really good football. They almost beat a very good Atlanta football team yesterday, and we know they're very good in two-minute situations. We know that from last year. So we've definitely got our work cut out for us, and it'll be a great test for us to open up for our division.
Two of your next three games are at home, but all of your next three games are division games. How important of a stretch is this?
This is very important. You know, this this can be something that puts you in a hole or jump starts, you know, you having a good division record. So you definitely want to have a strong showing these next three games and definitely want to be on the upper end versus, you know, digging yourself a hole and that you have to climb out of. So we realize the importance, and we just got to take it one game at a time, the first one being Detroit.
Dominant performance yesterday. Congrats on the win, B-Rob, and we'll talk to you next week after Detroit, all right?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
See you, bud.
It.
All right, Brian Robinson. And then I'll think about it. A month from now, London.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Right, September 25th today. I think we as a show leave on the 25th of October. I think Ben, maybe you and Chris leave a day earlier. I think maybe
I forget when the team leaves on Wednesday.
I think we leave on Wednesday as well. The team leaves on Wednesday.
Yeah, the team's not going out super early.
Really,
yeah, they don't have to because they're not the home team, so they don't have to do the meet the press, meet the neighborhoods, all that stuff.
So I think we're all flying out together.
Well, London, meet the Cleveland Browns, then, and that'll be a lovely week where the Browns can shake hands with a bunch of English football fans. I'm sure they're going to be thrilled to see the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hope that Myles Garrett is back. I mean, it's for like storylines and all that stuff.
No, let's hope he's not. If he's good, we want to win.
I'm saying from an NFL perspective.
Right? Yeah.
You know, like you really look at some of the players they have on that team, like, that's a kind of an exciting team from what comes to names and stuff like that. But
get Johnny Manziel back on that team.
They haven't played that well.
What's he doing? I don't know.
Probably Yag Bombs.
Probably taking a piss test somewhere.
Jeez.
Before we go to break real quick, Paul, you're going to be at Randall's tonight?
I am, for Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football.
The best.
Sweet. Yes, I have an MVP table that I want to give away for three friends, four total. You and three of your friends for Monday night to watch some football with meat sauce tonight. First round of drinks is free, and you'll get KFN and Randall's swag. Caller number 11 right now, 651-99-5326, 800-320-5326.
Twins won yesterday. You can go to PapaJohns.com today and type in the promo code TWINSWIN for 50% off a large or extra large pizza, or Vikes win for 50% off your order. The Lynx didn't win. Otherwise, there would have been promo codes all over the place, but Vikes win or Twins win on PapaJohns.com. The Power Trip Morning Show returns after this on The Fan.